there's a really important relationship, and these things aren't mutually exclusive, between a crisis in neoliberal capitalism and a crisis in contemporary midwifery work. And seeing how the stories of work and of finance, of the economy, and of the way capitalism is normalized, I think understanding how all these things are woven together, for me, is a really exciting project to do.
Welcome to Contractions, a podcast about the politics of midwifery, wherein we labor through political ideas, contract utopic visions into our ears, and where every pain brings us closer to better birth. In our second contraction, Rebecca Ashley labors through the similarity of the midwifery and financial crises, like the way in which they are sustained by data production and reconfigure our conception of risk. Ashley is a midwife and academic researcher at the University of Sussex in Brighton, England. This is Contraction 2, Crisis.
My name is Rebecca Ashley, and I'm a final year PhD student in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Sussex. And I'm also a midwife, and I qualified in 2014 and did all my training in London and worked in London as well. My PhD is mainly been based in Iceland and is about asking questions about what the institutional politics of midwifery work are. What I'm looking at is how to understand contemporary midwifery work and practice and politics in the context of financial crisis and neoliberalized healthcare, and to ask questions about what it means to be a carer in the sort of first quarter of the 21st century. What is care work? Like, what is the texture of care work? What does care mean in neoliberalized health? But importantly as well, like, how are midwives being cared for, or why do they feel uncared for? How do midwives describe the value of their work?
Rebecca's case study is located in Iceland, but the way in which midwifery care is part of neoliberal capitalism is a story that rings true for most countries, a main pattern being the production of data.
I think when I first came over, for me, the financial crisis was this real sort of moment of change. And I've got to understand the Icelandic context and the political history of the place better. I think the sort of story of crisis here in midwifery and health is something that goes on much longer. Like, it doesn't begin with a financial crisis. So I think it's actually really interesting to look at how the ideology of neoliberalism that came around in the 1980s and was sort of implemented here through the work of a very small group of people, how that's had a humongous effect on the way in which the healthcare system is being designed and run. And for me, I think although midwifery here is incredibly unique, and the history of midwifery is very different to the UK. I mean, midwives here have this incredibly long professional history, these incredible archives of midwives' work and so on. The way they belong to the healthcare system now is incredibly similar to the UK. And there's a lot of overlap between the way midwifery work is organised in the UK and the way it's organised over here. So through things like algorithms and protocols and guidelines, have become very important tools to kind of establish midwifery territory, but also tools that belong to neoliberalized health, to a sort of managerialist agenda where within health we need to be able to create targets and audit everything. And the people who work in a healthcare service are collecting and producing a huge amount of data. What you do is most valuable when it can be documented and accounted for on a piece of paper, on a form, and counted, audited, and so on. And that the work you're doing doesn't have a value until it is written down in that way. And it's primarily valued through its documentation rather than actually what it is. It's not just the documentation, it's all the kind of organization of care that goes into being able to turn up and provide that care. So really things that seem really simple that you wouldn't sort of list as a sort of set of skills that you are performing in a job but are absolutely crucial to the content of the work you do, like remembering to call somebody to check on how they are, and booking rooms, making photocopies of things, like doing all this sort of these things that seem like quite small tasks but are absolutely integral to your role as a midwife kind of functioning smoothly, and the people you're looking after kind of traveling through the sort of health system and their journey through pregnancy and labor and so on as smoothly as possible. And so sort of paving the way as people are kind of like walking down a pathway by doing all this sort of this organizational work around them.
There's a big problem there.
Individual midwives looking after individual families, kind of producing a lot of data about the care they're providing. And so documenting every single aspect of the care, and care being something that is about, offering somebody a glass of water, like changing bed sheets. It's also about performing really specific kind of clinical tasks around documenting changes in somebody's body. It's about very specific, documenting really specific midwifery skills. And all of those things kind of filter into a system that is electronic and is also on paper and is also in conversations between people. And the pathway that data takes is quite interesting. So it ends up in a sort of database system called a maternity dashboard, which is accessible by more senior managers in a hospital that can look at bigger sort of maps of, they turn that data into sort of a way to map out care that's been done and risk and what it means for people entering the hospital, what the sort of likelihood of what is going to happen to them. And I wonder if midwives are so overwhelmed by the amount of work they're having to do to prop up a system to make sure that they and the people they're looking after progress through that system like safely and well and kind of coherently, the midwifery work they do in a system kind of makes sense. I wonder if that, and that involves sort of practices of kind of audit and documentation and so on, lots of paperwork and data production. I wonder if that work has sort of become so sort of prevalent and overwhelming that, at the end of the day, when you finish a shift as a midwife, you sort of come home and think, oh my God, what have I done? I've done so much. And yet all these little tasks don't seem to, it's quite difficult to sort of coherently say what it is that you did. You're like, yes, I cared for this or these families and provided this care and so on, but there's all these small tasks that go into it. And I wonder if it's become quite difficult to sort of, while you can kind of clearly say in quite a sort of ideological sense, what it is as a midwife, what it is as sort of as a professional you're doing as a kind of a set of values and a kind of overall picture of midwifery, but that doesn't necessarily anymore map out onto the day-to-day realities of working as a midwife. But all this sort of this data processing and data accumulation is, we really need to remember that it's something incredibly new. And it's become a very, very normal part of midwifery now. And almost when I think about it as an anthropologist, with my anthropology kind of head on, it's almost quite peculiar that it's just this, it's this sort of totally naturalized way of looking at understanding what midwifery work is and what it should be. When we look back at sort of history of midwifery work, this production of data, I mean, obviously people were producing data, but it was happening in an entirely different social, political context and meant something quite different. So it's quite interesting to sort of, I think, zoom out and think, ask questions about why it's become so normal, who benefits, why do we practice like this now? And I think that's why we have such a, that's one of the reasons why we have such a crisis in midwifery at the moment, where we have incredibly high level of burnout in multiple countries in the Nordic region, which is, you know, celebrated as one of the best places to be a midwife in the world, one of the best places to be a woman, one of the best places to be a pregnant woman. It is ridiculous. And we need to be asking these questions about why so many midwives are burnt out. Why is it there's such a high attrition rate? There's such a short lifespan for midwives at work that it might be like less than a decade. Problems around recruitment and so on. We have a situation where midwives, the sort of the future of midwifery really is at risk. And I think all of these things are tied to the way in which we've designed healthcare systems and the way midwifery has to and attempts to fit itself into those systems, I think. Everybody understands, I think, from a kind of public perspective and from a kind of professional level perspective and kind of commentary on what it is that midwives do. You know, we understand that midwives are expert providers in care for women and families, pregnant people. They're experts in normal pregnancy and birth and postpartum care, but also have the responsibility to and are able to make referrals when that's necessary and I identify any kind of deviation from the norm. So there's this understanding of kind of expertise and care, and that they're people kind of using their hands to facilitate and kind of help people navigate these difficult and challenging kind of life processes that aren't just physiological, but like deeply emotional and experiential. We get all that, but then there's all this additional work that is absolutely tied to that now, which is about proving to the system, proving to your employers, proving to the state, proving to databases that you fulfilled all that work. It's almost like a second shift in midwifery where you're having to kind of back up all that direct care with the data and the evidence that you did it.
So this second shift in midwifery, the constitution of a virtual reality of midwifery work through data, changes what kind of output is valued and thereby shifts our focus from care to statistics, reconfiguring the way we experience and think of risk. Within this new constellation of data, risk, and statistics, midwives have to gain everybody's trust anew, now following different laws.
For me, one of the things that's important to think about when we're talking about midwifery is how much midwifery work is tied to ideas of risk, and risk is also like deeply tied up to the production of data within a sort of managerialist agenda. And it seems to me that we are having to, or midwives are having to, produce data in order to understand and manage and navigate risk. And the way midwives are told to sort of engage in their work is about producing data for the event of risk. And so it's something that makes you a safer and a better midwife in order to do your work, to look after women and children incredibly well. The best way you can do that is produce data about them and create a sort of a data map of how you've performed care, what the sort of pathway of your decision-making was, what at a particular time a woman, but really like her body, is exhibiting. But I don't know that, I say this more as a kind of quite a personal perspective as a midwife. I think a lot of midwives talk about this sort of overproduction of, not of data so much, but of paperwork, which is part of the data. And we were hearing in the conference, I think it was Edwin, when he was giving his keynote speech yesterday, was saying, you know, for every hour of care that midwives are providing, we understand now we spend 2 hours documenting that care. So we spend more time documenting than we do actually performing care. And that documentation seems to be, all about how we sort of navigate risk. And I think that's incredibly difficult for midwives. The whole ideology of becoming, of working as a midwife, and of providing care as a midwife is about being in a trusting relationship with a woman and family and with your colleagues. Like, that's imperative for good midwifery work. And it's about emphasizing the importance of relational care, in which trust is like absolutely central. So when midwives are working in a system where they feel untrusted and at risk in their work, like they are risky people that have the potential to cause a lot of harm. And when midwives are working in a system where that relational and trust-based work is sort of secondary to the work of audit and of documenting what it is that you're doing, that becomes a really difficult situation, because I think the value of work gets shifted onto producing data for an institution rather than actually providing relational care in a sort of individualized way. I think a lot of midwives end up feeling pushed to practice very defensively and over document, or sort of over anticipate something going wrong, or there being more risk there than there is, so to speak. I think one of the things that can happen is that these adverse events that are kind of found in the data, like when something goes wrong on some, like a individual hospital or an entire kind of system is under review, is that there's a sense of kind of urgency to change things. And the way that changes the content of work for individual midwives can be quite difficult. So you end up having additional tasks piled on top of midwives and then being asked to take responsibility for these big system issues, but into their own bodies and into their own areas of work. So counter effects of an audit culture is that it seems that you are perhaps always incompetent as a midwife and always at risk in terms of what you're doing. I remember reading years ago an interview with quite a senior midwife, a woman who works as a policy advisor for the RCM, called Janet Phil, incredible midwife. And she was interviewed by a journalist called Amelia Gentleman for The Guardian. And I think this was at the time when there was some big union disputes going on in the UK. And Janet said something in this interview which has never left me, and I have like pinned up next to my desk at home. And it was something like, I don't know what risk a banker works with, but I don't think a banker will ever understand the kind of understanding of risk that I have as a midwife. And that has just stuck in my head for years. Like, this quote's from like 2010 or 2011 or something, 2012. Just to think about, actually, there's a story to be told between the way we understand financialized risk and the work that's done with that, and the way we understand midwifery risk. Like, talk of risk is something that runs across these different kind of workplaces. And there's a way to talk about midwifery work in terms of the economy and in terms of financialized crisis that, yeah, I think the moment is now to be doing that. We're now a decade on from the financial crisis, and look at the state we're in the broadest possible way, but definitely in midwifery.
Financial and midwifery crises do not only have symptomatic similarities, like new configurations of output, risk and trust, but a financial crisis has a direct result on midwifery work as well. Apart from the obvious damage that it does to midwives and to healthcare systems worldwide, a crisis can also be the incentive to start something new, as it was for a couple of Icelandic midwives.
The story over the past couple of years of the wage dispute that's been unraveling in Iceland, that I know you've heard a lot about, when the crisis first hit, the graduating midwifery class of that time nobody could find any work. And one of the kind of trajectories of that story is this birth centre, Björgin, So the two midwives who have set up this beautiful midwife-led birth centre were part of that graduating class. And their story is one of the financial crisis. Like, they came into work without a workplace and had to effectively dream up their own place of work. It's a very kind of exciting story to be able to tell, to sort of see these midwives, newly graduated midwives, to think of them of being quite sort of hopeful about what they could create at a time in crisis and how to kind of survive through that as midwives, and think about a crisis as also being, it's not always destructive, it can also be quite a productive thing. And that's definitely the case with this birth centre.
In order to never waste a good crisis, however, we have to acknowledge the dire situation midwifery care is in and gain a broader vocabulary in the articulation of the value of our work, so that we know what to fight for.
So I went to the last Nordic Midwifery Congress in Gothenburg, and I remember feeling at the time quite sort of surprised at the content of research that was being presented at the conference. It was all really interesting, you know, incredible research about kinds of work that midwives are doing across the region, like new understandings of bodies and of midwifery practice and so on. But it wasn't until literally the final half hour of the conference, when all the heads of the different midwifery associations from across the Nordic region, they all went and sat on stage, and the organizer of the Congress just passed the mic to each of them and said, you know, can you tell us about what's important for you as a midwifery association in your home country to be thinking about until we meet again in 3 years, like as we have just now in Iceland? What's important to you? What are you going to be focusing on? And all of them, every single association head, said, we are facing a really difficult time in midwifery in our country. We have untenable working conditions. We have a sort of unfolding crisis where we're seeing centralization of services. This is having a massive effect on midwifery work. We have a problem with retention. We have burnout issues. And I remember sitting there and thinking, like, why has nobody talked about this in research? But then fast forward 3 years later, that was a really big theme of the Congress this weekend, that there was a big emphasis on midwifery burnout, and of talking about value and of the importance of being able to articulate value and actually having evidence, having, you know, research evidence for why that matters for midwives. Like, that we understand that the emotional well-being of midwives is absolutely tied to an ability to recognize and articulate the value of your own work, to be able to not just say what it is that you do as a job, but why it matters, and to feel that it matters. And the sad thing about this kind of current crises that we're seeing unfolding in all these different places is that midwives are really struggling to do that. Like, they can't say why their work matters, or sort of articulate perhaps why midwifery matters. And that's tragic. I think that's a deeply political issue. I think that's tied to a neoliberal ideology where people are highly kind of individualized and sort of alienated from one another and alienated from the value of their work. Midwifery has this incredible potential to be something different to that, where all this work that we do, all this sort of philosophy around relational care, the actual tangible practice of relational care, is all about solidarity, and it's all about trust, and it's all about being human with one another. And midwifery has this incredible potential to be subversive and, like, strengthens communities. It's a deeply, like, feminist profession. It has the potential to be, you know, like, radically feminist and intersectional. And I think so much of normal kind of midwifery practice within this politicized system that we work in, within neoliberalized clinical spaces, is about, I want to say, it's alienating midwives from the value of their own labor.
And to create something new in times of crisis, we cannot just find alternatives within the same neoliberal healthcare system. Instead, we have to dare to provide alternatives that posit us outside of the system, adhering to different values and political ideologies. for midwifery work has a unique potential to be an alternative to neoliberal healthcare, but only when we have the courage to relate to each other in solidarity, explore political ideas and different ways of praxis, can we truly reimagine midwifery care.
I don't think it works. I don't think it's working for us to map out continuity models, caseloading models within neoliberalized healthcare. I think we need to develop ways of thinking about how we can practice as midwives in ways that are subversive of neoliberalism. And I found it quite exciting to think about how, like, other kind of political philosophies can kind of match up with midwifery. Like, I think thinking through midwifery in terms of socialism is really exciting and really interesting. Something that I'm involved with in the UK is a really wonderful sort of like DIY collective of midwives there's not a kind of coherent group necessarily, but a group of midwives who trained together started holding a sort of summer DIY like weekend of workshops for midwives to kind of address midwifery skills, but also just sort of have a place for midwives to kind of come together and just like be with each other and dream a bit about how we can take care of one another as midwives. And that's been something now that's kind of carried on for 10 years. So I went to this event last year, and there are about 50 midwives camping in a field, everybody chipping into, you know, big sort of collective that were kind of at the, you know, maybe about sort of 15, 20 midwives who were, who sort of facilitated the entire weekend. We just sort of built a little community from scratch for the weekend and get to show each other how possible that is. And really, like, really be in solidarity with each other, like not be kind of talking to each other in terms of hierarchies, which are quite normal within clinical spaces, but to speak with each other like as friends and to be able to express feeling and emotion in a way that is often kind of curbed when you're in a different kind of professional atmosphere. And like, this is, you know, this is a gathering of people who are professional, but it is also very subversive of the kind of power implications of what it means to be that professional. And for me, it's quite a different kind of, a very like politicized, like reimagining of what it can be to be a midwife when you're in solidarity with each other, when some of the kind of boundaries that we have between each other are sort of broken down, not just between us as sort of midwife colleagues, but between us and the people that we look after. And it's just such a beautiful kind of thing. I mean that in a really genuine way, to sort of, to all recognize that in each other, like when we're there for the weekend, everybody feels it. Remember Mavis Kirkham came one year and she gave this incredible presentation, and one of the midwives that was at this workshop sort of said, you know, is it going to be possible for, you know, what do you think, Mavis, about us organizing like a sort of syndicalist, anarcho-syndicalist group of midwives? Like, how is it possible to bring that into midwifery? And Mavis Kirkham just sort of sat there and was like, you know, I was not expecting, you know, I don't expect to often hear people talk about Marxism in terms of midwifery, but cool, like, yeah, there it is. I think caseloading models of midwifery care and continuity of care are the places where midwifery can be incredibly subversive to the current kind of status quo of like of power in the way in which we're providing midwifery care, and be the place where we can kind of explore like socialist midwifery practice. So you could think about midwives being organized in cooperatives and how different that could look for midwives at work, where, you know, people aren't working in a kind of strict hierarchy, and that actually it's possible to be a good and a safe and a responsible, a kind midwife without sort of top-down directives about exactly how you should be planning your time and your work, and that actually midwives are incredibly competent at doing that and don't need to be mistrusted. This isn't something that's new. For example, I think the Albany practice in the UK, for me, I'm not sure, and I don't think the midwives involved in that would call their model of care as being socialist. So I'm definitely not speaking on behalf of them. But for me, learning about the Albany was one of the reasons I came into midwifery. I found it incredibly exciting. And it's probably more recently that I can actually start to think about that in a more clear kind of political sense. So the Albany is this incredible group practice of caseloading midwives based in southeast London. There's an amazing midwife called Becky Reed, who was a founding member of that practice. And they weren't for profit, they weren't private, but they were commissioned by their local NHS trust to provide caseloading midwifery services to one of the poorest places in the UK. Place that has massive levels of inequality and poverty and so on. And they provided, this caseloading group practice. They worked out of the local leisure centre. So they weren't in a sort of strictly clinical space. They had incredible rates of home birth. They had really brilliant relationships with local GP practices for a while, with the local obstetric and maternity ward. They were just fantastic, fantastic model of care. And the midwives involved in that work really looked after each other, and not in a defensive way. Like, everybody understood that the work was beautiful and hard, and they developed these really good models of care where they had sort of very protected time off. They all supported each other. I think when I think about socialist midwifery, things that sound quite big and grand, but that are actually very grounded, like imagining what a community in healthcare is, how we look after each other at work, how we can be in solidarity with the people that we work with to provide care for, how trust functions in those kind of relationships. All these things are kind of, they're there for us to take. But yeah, I think we have to be quite subversive. I really don't mean that in the sense that it was anti any other kind of, subversive towards any other kind of midwifery going on in the area, but it was absolutely a subversion of our imagined limits of what midwifery can be. Like, they dreamt big, they dreamt incredibly big, and were able to practice midwifery that was, I think, for probably a lot of midwives, like, learning about them or who came into contact with them was, sort of held the potential for something, for a different kind of imaginary of what midwifery work could be, that we can kind of turn all our attention, we can turn so much more attention to the way we relate to one another and the way we're human with one another and the way we support one another and what the texture of that work looks like. And they really did that for a while. And so, yeah, I think being subversive is about being, subverting like the limits of what we think is possible. And what's possible is like very close to us. Like, we often work as midwives in very sort of subversive ways all the time, like, caring for people in ways that the system doesn't always permit, despite all the difficulties, all the sort of the underfunding, the overcrowding, the underpayment of midwives, the undervaluing of midwives. Like, midwives still turn up and really care, like, really believe in what it is that they're doing.
Thank you very much for staying with us for our second contraction. If you want to give us continuous support, strengthen our moaning, and care for us like a true midwife by being present and listening in during our birth pangs, then please stay with us again for the next one. Like and subscribe, leave a review, and circulate this podcast to your midwifery contacts. After a short stall in labor, the rest and be thankful phase of Christmas and New Year's, our next contraction will appear the 15th of January.